Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. It is now time for Inside Matters, Spiritual Talk, Healing Done Right, Spiritual Growth, 12-Step Indigo Meditation, and much, much more. Hosted by Dungeon.
Hey, everybody. I know some of y'all heard me and Mariah in the background doing a little bit of our mumbling back there. I know you did because I had our mics open and I wasn't aware that they were open and y'all could hear what we were saying. I'm glad we weren't saying anything that we didn't want you to hear. How's everyone doing out there? Oh, buddy, 29 more days until springtime, and I'm just loving all this good weather that we've been having. Of course, it snowed a little bit yesterday, but the sun is bright and shiny today, and I'm doing very, very well. You know, I've been thinking about things that have been going on around the face of this earth, and I know it's going to be rough for some of you empaths out there. You know, the empaths are your feelings of the universe. They feel everything. As a matter of fact, they feel things they don't even want to be bothered with feeling. You know, and they have a knowing about them, those empaths, we empaths, because I'm an empath. And being an empath can be a tiring responsibility because you're feeling things for the whole entire earth. And while things are going on all around us, we're just absorbing that stuff, and we got to figure out ways to let it go. You know, like the song, the children's movie, Let It Go. We got to let it go. Being an empath places an overwhelming burden on a lot of people. They feel stuff in the supermarkets. They feel it in the shopping malls. They feel things in stadiums. Wherever there's whole groups of people going on or hanging out, an empath can really go into an anxiety spasm. They feel others' emotions, and they take them on as their own, and this can be a huge burden. We were empaths. I remember when 9/11 was going on, and they were showing how the buildings were going down and the people running in the street, and I remember that day I almost had my own emotional breakdown because of all the drama that was on the screens. And so empaths, they don't like dealing with violence and cruelty and tragedy on TV, and that can be overbearing for some empaths. You empaths know when someone is not being honest as well. If a friend or a loved one is telling you lies and you know that it's, you know, you can tell, and it really hurts you because you really, really don't want to be knowing that someone that you love and you care about is lying to you, but you just have this knowing. The other thing that can affect us empaths are digestive disorders and lower back problems. You know, that solar plexus area, you know, you have your chakra points, your seven chakra points, and then you have your solar plexus chakra, and that is based in the center of the abdomen, and it's known as the seat of your emotions. This is where empaths feel the incoming emotion of many other conditions as well. They feel the empathic, I'm sorry, I feel like I'm getting a little froggy thing in my throat. This particular area can be weakened, and eventually it may lead to other stomach problems such as ulcers and irritable bowel syndrome. And sometimes people have these conditions and they don't realize that it's because they're an empath and they're feeling all of this emotion and all of this trauma, and it's being absorbed right there in that section of the body. And if they could just realize different ways to release or to protect themselves from the vibrations of others around them and absorbing all of this stuff, it could ease up on a lot of their other problems. The empaths are always looking out for the underdog. Anyone who's suffering in emotional pain or being bullied draws an empath's attention and compassion. I remember as a young girl, I used to go and I used to fight for people who were being bullied and being taken advantage of, and I would take it upon myself to go out there and do my best to try and kick butt for them. Empaths can be riddled with constant fatigue as well, okay? That's because a lot of times other people want to offload their problems on the empath, and the empath, you know, is just that go-to person. And as they're suffering this fatigue, empaths often get drained of their energy, or either from energy vampires. Remember we had a past show where we talked about people who were energy vampires, and they just kind of like walked around. Some of them do it consciously, and some of them do it unconsciously. I remember one day on my job, a young woman, she was so grateful to me that she walked over there and she said, "Oh, my God, I'm just so happy, and thank you so much for what you did to me." And she reached out and she hugged me. And little did I know that when I walked out of the building, I took home a drain. That little girl drained me to the next day. I couldn't get out of my bed. And it was amazing how my daughter, who was sensitive to me, she said, "Ma, you need to get up. You need to get up and go out in the sunshine." So a lot of times we empaths, we need to go out in the sun and let the sun absorb some of that energy that's all around us and causing us all that anxiety. And empaths also have to be careful because they have addictive personalities. Sometimes we empaths think that if we drink, we can turn it off. If we take drugs, we can turn it off. If we have a lot of sex, we can turn it off, okay? And those are just to name a few addictions that empaths turn to block out the emotions of others. And it is a form of self-protection in order to hide from someone or something. So Fabio and I are going to be talking about some things that are going on across the face of this earth in this current day and time that may be a drain on empaths, and it's a drain on people who aren't empaths. So if you're being drained by these things, you need to understand that there are empaths out there that are drained twice as hard as you are. And so we have to be patient with each other. We have to be very patient with each other. We have to be calming with each other because we're living in a day and time where we can all be explosive towards one another, and we've got to hold back all of that stuff. One of the things I want to start out by talking about with you, Fabio, because I know you're there and you've been so patient. You're being patient?
I'm being patient.
Okay. I want to talk about, I want to talk about the purpose, our purpose list. You know, we want to close that out before we get into the shootings on the face of this earth, what's going on, you know, with POTUS in the White House and how all this spiritual stuff is unfolding around us. And I want to give you the floor for a bit so that you can go and do your thing as far as closing out last week's topics. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
I'm going to throw that on you.
Well, you know, this week I've been kind of thinking about how we've been going about constructing a purpose list and wanting to kind of phrase it in a different way that would kind of encapsulate everything that we've been trying to do and work at it from a different area. And so I've been flipping things back and forth in my mind. And then today I had to attend an event on behalf of the Hamilton Hill Arts Center. And in that process, one of the guest reverends said something that I thought was so perfect that I want to share it with you all here.
Okay.
And one of those things that he said was that we have to understand that our purpose in life is to grow our soul. So I thought, excellent, exactly what it is that I've been talking about. but I have been trying to construct it in such a way that it would be more empirical for people.
Mm-hmm.
But that was just the pinnacle of what it is that I had to relay, because I thought, okay, yes, the purpose is for us to grow our soul. So the question then has to be for each and every one of us, what are we doing in our lives to grow our soul?
Right.
And that's how we need to construct our purpose list. You know what I mean? So
mm-hmm.
that I think that kind of sums up what it is that I've been trying to get to and get at, you know, in regards to a purpose list for our lives.
Right. Well, we do know that a divine purpose for all of us coming through is
mm-hmm.
to be like our Creator.
Mm-hmm.
And our Creator is nothing but the embodiment of love.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
if our Creator, if we're going to walk in the image of that Creator, then we should embody love. And I guess maybe our souls purpose is to get our ego into a state where it realizes that it doesn't have to do anything but love. But the ego mm-hmm. is so conscious of being combative and protecting us from
mm-hmm.
where we're supposed to be or think it's protecting us, when all our soul wants to do is be the embodiment of love in human form, I think.
Well, this is kind of what it is that I've learned and I've experienced
mm-hmm.
From my traditional perspective. We come through these family lines, right, that have certain influences on us. So I'm going to say my mother was all about the truth. Okay,
mm-hmm.
she was going to tell you the truth. She was not going to sugarcoat it, make it more palatable or what have you. She was going to tell you the truth, down to the fact of when sometimes my friends would call and I would just be like, Mom, tell them I'm not home and you'll give me a message later if I didn't want to talk. My mother would say, no, I'm not going to tell them that. That is not the truth. I'm going to say that Arima does not feel like speaking at this moment, so she will give you a call back later. That is the truth, right?
Yeah, and I like that truth. I mean, that sounds clear.
Yeah, very clear, right? My father was about justice, right? And
mm-hmm.
he applied all rules across the board, no matter who you were. So, for instance, he was a bus driver for Temple No. 2 in Chicago for the University of Islam School. And his bus route meant that he picked up some of the elite royal, in quotation mark, Muslim children who were from the Elijah Muhammad lineage, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so when he would get there, at the bus stop, this one little child would be late all the time. And they thought that my father should make special allowances because this child was a part of this lineage. And so he informed the parents in front of all of the other children. He said, no, this child is expected to be here on time, just like all these other children are expected to be here on time. Because if I make allowances for this child, I will need to make allowances for all of these other children. So the rule is your child here at this time, and that is the time I will pick them up. And if they're not there, you will have to transport them yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So it was all about justice. And so they told me that when I was born, I was all about love. But I had to learn how to combine both my parents' messages with mine.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to be about learning how, in my life, how to deliver truth and act justly, always from the perspective of love. You know?
So, but, go ahead.
Go on.
No, you go.
No. So that has been something that I have worked on in terms of my life, in remembering the messages that my mother had to teach me, my father had to teach me, in relationship to the importance of love. Now, I do believe love is the most singularly important, and that could be because of how it is I've been born, element in the world, because it is the vibration that holds everything else together.
Right.
Without love, you can't create, you can't build, you can't heal. None of those things can occur without love. Everything falls apart. It is that cosmic element that glues everything together. It's that magnetism that glues everything together.
Okay. I heard what you said. And I heard what you said about your mother, and I heard what you said about your father. And I heard what you said was the culmination of you embodying both those with love.
Mm-hmm.
And as I was listening to you, I was feeling that everybody on the face of this earth should come from that same perspective. Everybody should come from truth, honesty.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody should come from justice and the right. I mean, that which is, you know, justice. And everybody should be able to emit that or project that or bring that through with love.
Mm-hmm.
Now, maybe that would be too much of a perfect society.
Right.
But I think we may all be headed for the same exact thing, only we're going about it or we're taking a different route to get there. But if we look at today's society, there is not enough truth on the face of this earth.
Mm-mm.
There is no justice in the way that it needs to be justice on the face of this earth.
Mm-mm.
I mean, and if we looked at it and we had all of that and it flowed through, if we all just had love, then we would be able to probably funnel to the justice and the truth.
That's right.
You know?
That's right.
So it all overlaps. And it, you know, from my perspective right now, based upon what you say, I mean, you said that's what the Creator is all about.
Mm-hmm.
Honesty, truth, justice with love. Because we know we can all have this great fear of our Creator, but I have this fond relationship with my Creator as I see things, and it's a loving, kind one, and it's just, but it's not punishing. I mean, it's just to me in the sense that as I stumble along my way, I'll figure it out. And I'm the one that trips and falls and makes those mistakes. I'll figure it out. And like you see a newborn baby, well, not a newborn baby, a toddler trying to learn how to walk. I mean, they'll fall. And the parent will stand by and with their arms open just in case. And, you know, we struggle up and try it again until we get it right, you know. So all of that you said, let's first look at all of these shootings of all of these babies and all these people all over the face of this earth. Where's the truth and justice and love in that? You know, when we have our leaders looking at this type of thing going on, you know, and all they can do is say, oh, our hearts are with you. But they don't do anything to prevent all of these killings. Where is that justice and that truth and that love when we see police killing people, innocent people in the street, or let's just say us killing ourselves? Where is that? Where is that spiritual energy flowing in that? When are we going to wake up?
Well, when I look at it, I understand that there are a lot of things at play, really. For instance, we all have roles to play in the society to bring about certain manifestations. Like, we were talking about how a perfect society would balance love, truth, and justice, right? But that's a very old, mature soul searching for that, right? You have these young souls that come in that haven't even gotten to the point of understanding what the purpose of truth is yet,
right,
what the purpose of justice is yet. Or, you know, so we're all
justice,
operating.
They may think is to kill somebody.
Right, exactly. So they are going through these reincarnations and this learning process. And everyone has a singular destiny. Even though we may not like, understand, or appreciate it, it is a destiny that must play out. Just like Hitler had a destiny. But we had a destiny as people to stop him.
Absolutely.
That collective evil. Okay?
Right.
We had to manifest that energy, that collective consciousness to bring about the stop of that evil that he was attempting to manifest here on the planet. So how do we not know that these children, although I'm sad that it is happening, and I'm upset, and I'm just, I
know
can't
what
tell
you
how much my heart wrenches.
Right, I know,
you know
what you're afraid to say.
But how do we not know that they are not serving as the catalyst to push us forward to stop this madness?
And it was their destiny, and as souls coming through to manifest in physical form, they already knew in their soul state this is what they were coming forth to do.
Right.
And how do we know that at the very point that they were cowering, we're imagining them cowering in a room, in a classroom somewhere, scared to death. How do we know that a peace did not come upon them because they realized at that point, as young as they were, that this is what their purpose was to be in this point, in this spot, and fulfill their destiny? How do we know? We don't. We don't know what went on in that room.
No.
All we know is what we feel on the outside as we look that direction. And something is about to stop.
Right.
Something is happening. Something is
because
happening.
The children, those children who are at that school, I heard one of them speak, and he said, "We're not going to allow this to happen anymore because you adults have failed us."
Absolutely.
But guess what? We are not going to allow this to happen anymore. We're going to go out here and remove these officials who are being paid by, you know, to lobby for the NRA when they're elected. We're removing them. If you've taken money from them for your campaign, you will no longer be with them. You know what I mean? You will no longer be in office come this next term. So they've taken upon themselves. They're like, we won't have it anymore. You know, because if you won't protect us, we're going to protect ourselves. So here is the birthing of their purpose.
Absolutely.
Through these acts. And I'm just shaken by it. But at the same time, I realize, unfortunately, that a lot of times we don't actually change our lives sometimes for the better until we have had some sort of catastrophic thing choose to be a catalyst in our lives.
Sometimes we don't change our lives, but our lives begin to change us.
Oh,
and if we don't look out there and see what we are meant to do to change our lives, damn, this is not going, it's going to change. What's going to happen is we're going to be forced into that change because our life is going to change us.
Exactly.
That's what's happening.
Exactly.
You know, I don't want to make this into, I want this to be a spiritual show.
Right.
And we're very spiritual on this show. But what we're finding out is we're rising, and spirit is rising on all fronts on the face of this earth. It's rising in the young people. It's rising in some of our religious people. It's rising in our people of color. It's rising in the women. It's rising in the people who have been disenfranchised. And if you have been disenfranchised, and if you look across the nation, the world, look at the disenfranchised people, and they are beginning to rise. They're rising. They're saying no more.
Right.
We're tired of this. And it's something that's sparking a light in their soul. The time has come. You know, I mean, look at all of the female African-American females that went out and voted and changed the state of the elections in a red state where you had the white people getting ready to vote for the pedophile. Understand? It took some women of the women of color to go out there and cast their vote to say, no, we are not having you. Maybe y'all want to go along with this stuff. We're not having it. That's not how we were raised. You know?
So, and when everything is said and done, it is usually the women of color who become the consciousness for a nation. When everything is said and done, that's usually what happens, you know? But there's no recognition for it. You know, it's usually their sacrifices behind the scenes quietly that helps determine the course of where our conscience is going to, you know, land.
Well, I don't think it's going to be kept quiet much longer.
I don't think so either.
Because I'm getting ready to tell you. I looked out at the audiences at the NAACP Image Awards. I watched that the other day. I watched every single speaker that got up there, and all they constantly said was, oh, we got to vote. It's like they're pushing it. They're and then there's this young woman on Blackish, Yahara Shahidi. You see her? She's 17 years old. You got to Google her. Yara Shahidi. She's a young African American woman. I mean, young woman. She's from where's her family from? I'm sure somebody out there knows. It loses me, but she's from a Muslim. Her family is from a Muslim country. I believe she was born and raised here, but her family's from a Muslim country, and she's on the show Blackish, and she's the oldest, and they just spun off her own show called Grownish, and she's on her way at 17. She's going to Yale, and she has this this push, 18 for 18. In other words, the 18-year-olds who are ready to vote in 2018. I mean, she's got it. I mean, you got to hear that little sister talk. And it's a female. You know what I'm saying? Because we've got to get rid of that angry, hostile male mentality. And I'm not saying all men are like this, but it's an energy that has got to go. You know, it's hostile. It's mean. It's combative. It's defensive. It's attacking.
Right.
We need more men like Chadwick Boseman.
We need more men who are life giving, who are life affirming, who are brave and committed. You know,
and who aren't afraid of women expressing themselves, you know, not afraid of women in leadership roles.
Right. It goes on and on and on. You know, I just wish I could have, in essence, replicated my father. He was a wonderful man. He was a wonderful black man.
Mm-hmm.
And people often tell me that they can tell that I had a wonderful father by how well I get along with black men.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And I said, well, you know, I never noticed that. You know, they said, you always have all these really wonderful men in your life, black men in your life. And I say, you know, I think the men who are in my life that are that close to me in my life at some point embody some of the things that my father had. Not all of them, you know
mm-hmm.
what I mean? But they embody some of the characteristics that he had. And I wish that I could have just duplicated how wonderful this man was in terms of his community spirit and his love for his people and love for children and his willingness to sacrifice for the well-being of his family and his community. You know what I mean? And
right.
The strength that he carried, not just, I don't mean just physical strength, although he was a physically strong man, he was so spiritually strong that mm-hmm. I believe my father was a lot larger in life than what he really was. I didn't really realize how small in stature my father was until he was sick in a hospital bed and I went to see him, and then I could see him only as the 5'9" man he was.
Mm-hmm.
But prior to that, my father was so huge, his spiritual energy was so huge, that he always presented like a giant next to me,
mm-hmm.
you know. And we need more men like that. We need more people like that,
mm-hmm.
you know, in our community, because we have lost our way. We've lost what it means to come together and struggle to get somewhere. We're all interested in having our own car, our own house, our own this, our own that. But it wasn't always like that for us. We were interdependent people who operated in a community, communal way, and that is how we were able to move things as a one mind. Mindset, not as a this is mine and that's yours. You know what I mean?
Right. Now, you know, we're going to have some spoiler alerts here because based on what you just said, we're moving right into Black Panther. And the reason why I say that is because
excuse me,
I haven't even seen the movie. Okay?
You got to see it. You got to see it.
I know I'm going to see it. But spiritually speaking, I know a lot is going on in this movie. I know it because as an empath, I know it, and as, you know, as a person that likes to speak to my ancestors and speak to spirit, I know, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But you just said everybody wants to have their own thing. And one of the things that I know about this movie is that we have those sisters. You know I'm going to go to the sisters, Dora Milaje, the warrior sisters.
Mm-hmm.
Each one of those sisters comes from a tribe
mm-hmm.
that comes together
mm-hmm.
so that they can protect the king of a nation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, this is a nation, but it has different tribes,
mm-hmm.
okay?
Mm-hmm.
But each one of those sisters is representative of a tribe that she's from, and that's
mm-hmm.
how they work collectively.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And there
mm-hmm.
are so many things in that movie that we need to grab a hold of as
mm-hmm.
a black person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, forget about the fact that it's making millions and millions of dollars, okay?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There's so much symbolic terminology in that movie that it's mind-boggling. You know?
Even the very fact that it's called Black Panther.
Give me a say, alhamdulillah. I know black. Yeah, we know the Black Panthers, don't we?
And they were the terrorist group in our community, by far. They wanted to name them as a terrorist group. They wanted to label them as a terrorist group, but they weren't terrifying our
community. No, they weren't.
They were protecting us from being terrified in our
community. I remember when I went to school, I was 25 years old. I went to school in Utah, mind you, and I'm the only black person in this classroom. Oh. And they talking about Harlem and talking about how down and out it is and so on and so forth. Well, I don't want to get into everything they were saying, but I had to stick up. I saw one of my stepfather's friends sitting on the stoop in a movie. In my classroom in Utah with his dog. So they was talking about my home, and I didn't like it. And when they got to the Black Panthers, I let them know, Black Panthers fed black children.
Yes, they did.
They were not the criminals that y'all are trying to make them out to be.
No.
No.
They detoxed heroin addicts.
Yes, they did.
Through acupuncture. Come on. Talk to me.
They interjected community health programs.
Yes, they did.
Lunch
yes,
programs,
did.
Free lunch
yes,
for
did.
The children on the street.
That's
in the
right.
sun. Yes, they did.
Taught them physics in the pool halls through the use of the pool cube and the pool table.
Now you
and,
see,
come on.
Young people today going to see the movie Black Panther, they don't know what we know about
right.
Black Panthers.
Right.
Oh, lordy, lordy.
Oh, I'm tickled by the very fact that they have a superhero named Black Panther. You know, I said, how apropos, because they were our supermen.
And he's and black.
And women. And women.
And he's black from Africa.
Right. Right. Oh,
what was the
goodness.
Sister's name? Angela Davis?
Yes.
Okay, she was the leader of the Dora Milaje. She was head queen Black Panther.
Oh,
yeah, we
goodness.
Could go off into our own little tangent on that movie.
Yes.
But let's,
oh,
let's get
goodness.
Back to the movie now. But, yeah, in the movie it shows you how, you know, black people need to come together for the survival of the whole. You know,
right.
all that fighting
right.
and stuff and killing each other. You know, that's
tribalism. That's, you know, as if we need to be able to be joined under the same tribe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and represent and really understand that even though we have different heads, it's like the sacred alligator. Of the Indinkra symbol. It has two heads. It's multi-head, but it has one belly. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So we need to recognize that we all have multi-heads, you know, throughout the diaspora, but we have one belly that we need to feed to keep us whole and spiritually sound, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And we haven't really... That's the thing that I appreciated about Black Panther, because there is a comment between the protagonist and the antagonist. There's a conversation where there's a conversation about them being cousins.
Mm-hmm.
We are cousins, you know. Oftentimes, Africans look at African Americans as if we are not of them. We just
right.
sprang up over here. They don't know their history, and they're not always teaching them that history in Africa, that we actually came from Africa, okay? They're not. I've met some Africans, and they're like, oh, you know, they don't teach us that African Americans were actually Africans at one point. That's because of colonization, okay? if you colonize
yeah.
someone,
but then in
mind,
my mind, you know, a little
right.
bit, kind of, sort of,
right.
I think. You know, wouldn't that be some common sense there? Duh.
Well, hello, I think so too. But
duh.
But that's me looking from this lens.
That's true.
You know,
but.
And then we have some African Americans who are like, I ain't from. Don't be associating me with Africa. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's like, no, 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 no.
I
no,
bet
no.
you there's some African Americans that saw this movie Black Panther and want to go to Africa now. It's like they proud to say they from Africa. They want to be from Africa.
Look, they in Ghana, a lot of African Americans don't know this, but in Ghana, they say that they will give African Americans dual citizenship. You go there and apply for it and become a citizen in Ghana and a citizen in America. You know, so you have the rights and privileges. I don't know what the process is. I haven't checked into it, but they do have the process in place for us to go home and be claimed as African, you know. And there has to be that healing that takes place between both sides, in order for us to be able to move forward. I think as a people, we have to have that healing take place. You cannot, it is a terrible thing for a child to be denied by its own mother,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that hole that it creates psychically for you lives with you forever, you know, and it's something that you unfortunately, once again, pass down to your children. So to be claimed by your mother is a very powerful thing. It's a very powerful healing that can occur when that happens. So I'm looking forward to the day when we can be called home and be claimed by our mother, you know. I really am. And so that's what the movie was like for me. Them saying, okay, we claiming our kids.
Right, right, yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. I also am fascinated by the T'Challa's sister, Shuri. Yeah, I like her because, and I know, I'm saying all of this and I haven't seen the movie, okay? I've just seen write-ups, and I've, you know, I get all involved in all kinds of trailers and stuff, and but I like her because she is the epitome of our young mm-hmm. black children knowing that mm-hmm. they can excel in the sciences, you know, mm-hmm. the STEM program, science, technology, you know, mm-hmm. Engineering mm-hmm. and math, and it can mm-hmm. And it they just so happens to be a young girl. You know what I'm mm-hmm. saying? But mm-hmm. it can be mm-hmm. all of our children. Our children need to know this. They need to stop being afraid of math and
right.
technology. You know, they got
right.
the technology down, but all they want to do is play games. Come on.
Right.
There's more to it. You need to start learning how to code, you know, and start
building
making
some of those games.
Right? Make it right. Making some of those games. Yeah, I like her. She's
yeah,
so
I like
cute.
Her too. She yeah. is so typical, though. She is so
typical little sister.
Yeah, she is a typical little, and not just that, she is a typical kind of young person that we're dealing with today that doesn't necessarily understand why all the tradition and culture is necessary. You know what I mean?
Right.
She's kind of impatient with it. She's like, oh, can we just get on with this? Because, look, I'm standing here dressed like this, and this is uncomfortable for me. You know, I just want us to be
right,
done.
I got you. Which
and,
is, yeah.
And she hasn't gotten to the point of where she knows how to respectfully, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Kind of just respectfully understand that certain cultural practices and ancestral ritual is necessary,
right.
you know?
Yeah.
So I when
she
I hear
me,
her
my granddaughter, she just turned 13.
Oh, my
and,
goodness.
And I think I shared this on one of the shows before where she has cowrie shells and
mm-hmm.
I have the coconut shells. We were sitting in
right.
front of the altar, and I was going to teach her how to throw the shells, okay?
Right.
How to throw her shells and, you know, how to how to clean them and all that other stuff.
Right.
So we're talking, and she looks up at me. She's about, I don't know, 11 or 12, and she looks up at me and she says, Grandma, If I ask a question and then I throw these shells and I get an answer, do I have to do what the shells say? And I said, yeah, of course. She said, well, Grandma, I don't think I want to throw these shells right now. So, see, it's like, I respect this enough to know that I'm not ready to let no shells tell me what to
right.
do.
Responsibility is too much.
That's right. And I mean, I said, she is so deep, this little girl. Mm-hmm. Nope, I don't think I want to throw these shells right now. I said, okay,
that's
you don't
right.
have to. She put them back on the altar. So.
You have to
man.
Love it. Oh,
yeah.
My
and
goodness.
I do, literally. I literally love teaching my grandchildren, you know, the spiritual evolution of stuff and of life, you know, that kind of thing. I really do. It just makes them a little bit rounded in other ways, you know?
Yes, absolutely. So. Oh, my goodness. It's just great. Get out there. See Black Panther. Yes.
Yeah.
Have a Black Panther party.
Yeah, we need to do that. You know,
yes,
I mean, I'm
yes.
going to go see it, and then I'm going to go see it again, and then I'm going to go see it again, because, and then I'm going to buy it.
Exactly.
As soon as it comes out, it's going to be in my archives.
Exactly.
I'm going to buy it, and then I'm going to watch it again. I'm going to watch it like I used to watch West Side Story when I was a kid. You know, I knew everybody's line. I will know everybody's line when I'm done. You know, I'll be able to say, you'd be saying, would you shut up and let me watch the movie? Do you have to say what they're going to say, you know?
No, I may be answering you. You would say one part, I would say.
Yeah, buddy.
Oh, my goodness. Look, I have to make a correction from the last show that we did.
I said
that I would want to be Foxy Brown, but it's Get Christy Love. That is who I want to be.
Oh, okay.
You were right. Pam Grier is Foxy Brown, but Get Christy Love. Now, she, I want to be Christy Love.
Okay. So silly. Yep.
So I just wanted to put that little correction in there.
Well, you know, I told you that I'm one of those African warriors. I'm one of those women.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I am. I know beyond the shadow of a doubt. I know that. You know, that was my past life. I was, you know, and I was a leader. Okay.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay. I was a leader, and I was bold, and I was brazen, and I was loving, and I was compassionate, but I didn't take no stuff.
Nope.
Okay. I believed in justice and honesty. With love.
Right. And honor. Look, you done sworn an allegiance. This is a spoiler. One of my best parts in the movie is when the general of the women's battalion is fighting against her husband because he's gone against the rules. Her own husband. And he says, do you mean to tell me you would kill me? She said, if it is to save my country, yes.
Okay.
Now put your sword down.
Okay. Got him. Yeah, okay.
He was like, she would too. I was
of course she would.
That woman looked like she done sworn to uphold a certain thing, and she stood by it. You think she's going to go against? She stood by it for people that she loved as equally as you. You think she's going to go back on it now that it's you?
You know what else I like about that movie? Those women were fine, and those women were sexy, and they did not show nothing. They were covered from their neck all the way down to their toe.
Yes, they were.
Not even a wrist was being seen. Okay? You just need to see their fingers holding on to that spear. Those were
some of the most
modest warrior women. Now, Wonder Woman, she got to take off all her clothes. Okay? Our African queen, they don't have to take off nothing and kick butt.
And the only thing they took off was their hair. Shame all the way down.
Because they didn't want nobody grabbing it.
No. No grabbing of the hair. Okay? Nothing against us. Shaved. Tattooed on top of their heads. I said, oh, my goodness. That's what I'm talking about.
Uh-huh.
Now, that's what I mean. Mm-mm-mm. Anyway. But you have to hear the commentary of the people who actually looked at, they took some of everything from all of Africa, and we could see it. I saw the rich, I said, there's some people here who know about Nigerian ritual.
They said,
you know what I mean?
They said they went on a tour of Africa. As a matter of fact, the color ensemble, they say the Dora Milaje, they wore red because that was the colors that are used for, they wanted warriors. What's this guy, the priest? He had on the purple. They had tattoos and signs on them from different African nations.
Yes, they did.
You know, in Africa, Africa was represented
all throughout that movie. I said,
absolutely.
Wow. Because there's a part where they bury the kings. They bury the kings in ritual in Nigeria.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, check that out. Okay, all right, okay. Well, go on ahead with that.
And when I mentioned the fact that the women, the warriors, they represented different tribes. That, you know, of women who were trained and selected to be a part of the king's guard, on their belts. You're going to watch it when you see the movie again. You're going to notice it if you didn't notice it. On their belts that hung down around their waist, from their waist, you'll see a symbol which represented where their clan is from.
Oh, I'm going to have
it's
to check that
so
out.
It's a symbol of where their clan is from, and it's hung from their waist. It's a pallet hung from their waist. And you'll notice that each one has different designs on their belts hanging down.
Mm.
I told you. I've been studying. What's her name? Ruth E. Carter. She's the costume designer, and that sister did a darn good job.
She did an excellent job.
Yes, she did.
I have to say I am very proud. There have been some voices that have dissented when I've spoken to them. They were like, you know, we can get together to go to a movie, but we can't get together to go to a PTA meeting. And I say, I'm going to celebrate any time we can get together with each other in this situation, you know, because we come together so many times in sorrow in our communities that anytime we can get together and be happy, I'm going to be in support of that, you know. So anyway, we're going on about our Black Panther experience. We want people to have it, to go in, to have these conversations, to be able to come back out, you know. And, you know, and it's kind of like, this reminds me of Luke Cage. Did you watch Luke Cage?
No, I don't think so, no.
He's Netflix.
I would have
And
remembered.
He's a bulletproof Black man. Okay.
I'll check him out.
But, excuse me, in the opening credits, there's so much going on because across his back, there's a bridge. There are so many kind of things going on in terms of this piece. And so I would say watch Luke Cage, too, in terms of him being a bulletproof Black man. Because, for instance, and see how many things you can pick out. So in the opening credits, there's a bridge across his back, and there is a book called This Bridge, you know, across my back, or something like This Bridge is My Back. I can't remember the exact title, but I can remember that it was a feminist book that we had to study. So see how many things you can pick out when you take a look at this.
One of the things I want our listening audience to be aware of There have been rumors that KKK has boycotted the movie Black Panther. There have been rumors that sisters are going to boycott the Black Panthers because, what's his name, our antagonist, whatever his name is, the bad guy, the good-looking bad guy, his girlfriend is white and all this other stuff. We ain't about all of that. Okay, we don't care what his girlfriend is. Okay, we're not all about that. You understand what I'm saying? Because we're just not. That's like so long ago, ancient stuff, you know, because nobody boycotted, what's his name, all these other men and movie stars that have white women and all this. No, you know, come on, we're not about that. And if you know what I know, most of it is probably fake news that white people are putting out for us to think that the movie is not. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Don't even listen to it.
Right. They're also saying that white people are being assaulted in movie theaters when they go to see this movie, and that's not true either. It's fake news. They've debunked a lot of what's going on where they capture these people. Pictures from other news stories where white women have been beat, and they're putting these stories, using those images in these fake stories to say that white people are being assaulted, white women are being assaulted, which is not true, you know, in the theaters when they go see the movie.
Right. Yeah. I mean, we are not animals that they want people to think we are. We are not animals. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And you don't see black people going out with AR-15s blowing up little children in schools and stuff. You do not see us doing that kind of thing. You know? We just don't.
No.
We just don't.
You know, with all the mental illness that we have, we don't choose to. We usually implode. We don't usually explode. We usually choose to self-harm than we do to harm other people with the rage and the mental illness that we have. And I'm hoping we'll get to a point where we won't even make that choice anymore. We'll choose to heal, you know.
That's true.
It won't be us out there shooting up multiple people just to see how many times we can kill someone. No. How many lives
and
you can take.
Just like, you know, whenever somebody that's white does something wrong, I mean, you can find excuses for them. You can find them needing due process of law. You know, I was looking at this POTUS 45 talking about how we need to, you know, have due process of law, and people are innocent until proven guilty because all of these people that are being charged with all of this illegal stuff in his White House. Well, he did not have that concern back in, what year was that, 1989, when you had those five black men, 15-year-old black young men, that were charged with raping a white woman in Central Park. They called them the Central Park Five, okay? When he took out in all the major newspapers in New York that they should bring
full
back the death penalty and kill them immediately, and they were found innocent. Where was their due process of law?
Right.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, they can find excuses. Now, you know what? You see all of these white people killing these white people, and if that's not an act of terrorism, I really don't know what is.
Right.
That is more terroristic than anything I've ever seen anywhere.
Right.
Including running over a white woman down in South Carolina when they did their little march. And you know what I'm saying is, they acts of terror. So we have to be calm.
Here is the situation when I look at this. They used to say, and they still say, and it still holds true, that if, you know, no one is free, if someone is, was it enslaved in your community, everyone is enslaved, I'm paraphrasing, but it's so true, because the practices that they have perfected using against people of color in disenfranchised communities, they are now practicing using in poor white middle class, lower middle class communities. When these things about you losing your jobs and having to jump from employment every 2 years or what have you to stay employed, and you go from one place to the next, and you don't get a chance to retire or do all of these things that so many other people in your community may have had a chance to do. People of color have lived with that for years, you know. And when you start looking around, excuse me, at some of the things that are playing out in society now, you want to do your best to stop any injustice, because it is a practice for, you know, they practice on us and then they use it on you, okay? So it's that kind of thing. So it's just like the Jews when they said, when they came for the people who were mentally ill, no one said anything. When they came for the people who were disabled, no one said anything. We didn't say anything, you know. It keeps climbing up. So you have to understand that it's not us against you. It is all of us who are the 99% against
all of
the
us.
1%. Yes, all of us who are the 99%. Against 1%.
The children,
right.
The people of color, the women,
exactly.
The mental,
right.
The mentally ill. It's
right.
All of us. It's every
all
single
of
one
us.
Of us.
And we have to stand with that understanding with each other, all right, in order to change any of the dynamics. It's all about economic power and brutality. So if we want to change that, we have to stand together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we do.
We have to focus on what we have more in common than what we don't have in common.
Right.
You know, to make
right.
that change.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what? It's about that time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm letting
okay.
everybody know that we got 29 days. I'm letting you know again, 29 days is screen time. Yesterday was Duchess's birthday. I'm not going to tell you how old I am, except that I'm 17 years old reverse. Okay? And I'm getting ready to think about retiring from my job and going on a short-term disability leave. So I don't know if I'll be in enough relief from my surgery. I guess we will have a show the first week in March.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, I won't have the surgery until the following week, so it would be the third mm-hmm. week of March that I would be concerned about. We'll have a show the first week in March, and who knows, with springtime coming and me being out of work for a long duration, I might just be able to come up there and go visit Fabio up there on the farm.
Yay!
We'll be able to work.
We got a chair ready for you, too. We got a chair.
You got a what?
A chair ready for you, too.
Really? You do? You have a recliner?
Yeah, we have a recliner. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Sounds...
Come on down.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That sounds like a winner. So,
yes.
Everybody, Fabi, you want to say anything before we say goodnight?
Just take a deep breath, everybody, and breathe. You know, we're going to get through this together. That's the only way we're going to get through it, you know. And I'm down for 18 for 18? Yeah, let's make 18, sure we have it happen.
You have to look her up. Once again, her
I
name
do.
Is Yara.
Yara
Shahidi. She's
Shahidi.
The cutest little thing, and she knows her stuff.
Yeah, good for her. Oh, my goodness. Yep. Thank God for them. Yeah. So good night, everyone.
Okay, everyone, it's been real, and I've enjoyed it, and thank you so much for hanging out with us, and I hope we didn't talk too much about Black Panther, but that's the going thing, and it'll be going for a while. So you take care, stay blessed, and be good. This is Duchess signing out. Oh, buddy. Maybe we don't want to sign out. Yeah, we do.